NCTNI presents Boobcast with Katie and Kiefer. We're both NCT qualified breastfeeding counsellors with five children between us and wide-ranging breastfeeding experiences. On this podcast, we'll be delving into some of the topics that come up most regularly when we talk to parents.
So today we're going to talk about support and what that means for breastfeeding.
Whenever I think about breastfeeding, my favourite quote is from a UNICEF website, and it states, "For breastfeeding to work, you need someone to turn to who believes it's important and believes you can do it." And for me, that just says everything about what a woman requires to have a successful breastfeeding experience and to meet their goals. And I think all too easily, we don't think about what it actually takes to achieve, for a woman to achieve what she wants to where breastfeeding's concerned.
Yeah, and I think when you say that quote, it does sound like the partner is the person who's giving the most support, but that's not necessarily true. I would say that if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're having a baby together, then it is very, very important that the closest person to you, probably your partner, is supportive of breastfeeding. But I would say also, if you're in a situation where maybe they're not, but you have other support around you, then, you know, there's no reason why you can't make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't need to be your partner. You just need someone that's going to champion you along this journey. And we are, whenever we're pregnant and the focus is, and, you know, for a very good reason, is focused on the pregnancy and labour and birth, the immediate postnatal experience, I think, doesn't get as much attention as it deserves. And therefore, we don't, as women, as a society, we don't encourage women to really look at what that may look like, what they may need in place aside from the material items that you need as a parent. So this baby arrives and then you want to breastfeed. You maybe have an idea about what's required, and then something happens or it's more difficult than you expect, and knowing where to look for that first line of support is pretty important.
And more when I'm talking to women who are pregnant and they're talking to me about the things that they're buying and the things that they're looking forward to, one of the first things that I'm saying is, you know, if you would like to breastfeed, then what do you think that's going to look like? What have you thought about what you might need for that to happen? And, you know, are you getting support? Do you have somebody that can champion you?
Yeah.
I think it's really, really important antenatally for those questions to be coming up, because once the baby's born, it can be too late. And that sounds like you can't breastfeed, you know, if you just have a baby and you want to see how things go. That's not true. But there are ways that you can make it easier for you to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having that knowledge of where, how breastfeeding works and where the support is found, because as nearly all breastfeeding support organisations, they readily state that most women have a desire to breastfeed. However, a large proportion of those women don't get to where they want to because of the lack of support. They don't receive the support that they so absolutely deserve.
Statistics are showing that most people want to breastfeed, mm-hmm. yet they're not breastfeeding by the time it gets to 6 weeks, yeah. 3 months, 6 months. And, you know, we really need to be looking at why that is and, you know, asking the questions. Mm-hmm. And it's not their individual fault.
No.
It's really about the support that they're receiving. And mm-hmm. it's not just one person. There's also a societal support that we're not giving mothers. Where are they finding that they have that feeling that they want to breastfeed? Mm-hmm. But where are they getting the support to actually make that happen?
Yeah, because there's just, breastfeeding is not seen, or rarely seen, in society, and certainly here in Northern Ireland. It's just culturally almost a taboo in some communities because no one sees it, and therefore that means that there's a great lack of understanding about what a woman that's breastfeeding needs. And so frequently people are quick to pass comment on how often a baby's feeding, or how they should be fed or what a mum should be doing. So there's no community support for that mum. And then it really, the weight of that support falls back onto that, the partner, the family surrounding them. And that goes back to what you were saying about having some preparation in place before the baby arrives and really encouraging women to have those conversations with their close network, who they're, those people that they're going to be looking to for support whenever that baby arrives, to say, listen, I want to breastfeed. It's really important to me that this works. So this is what I need from you. There's a slowly and increasing amount of resources out there for that's aimed at people that want to support a breastfeeding mum that maybe don't know how to.
I think when you're talking about support, what does it mean? It means something different to different people. Mm. So for one person, it might be that they need somebody who will say, how can I help you to continue doing this? For somebody else, it might be drop-ins and groups with other mums, you know, peer support, mm-hmm. things like that. And for other people, they might need a bit more skilled support. So, you know, if there are issues with latching or with any of the common challenges that we come across, you know, it might be that you need somebody who knows a little bit more about breastfeeding. And if you have that in place, you know that you can call a helpline. Mm-hmm. You have somebody that's a breastfeeding counsellor that you can reach out to, mm-hmm. something like that. That might be what support means to you at the beginning.
Exactly.
And then it could change.
Yeah, that's it. You know, having even, you know, alerting your family to these helplines so they can, if we're talking about helplines, we can talk about the NCT one that is opened from 8 to midnight. And we... breastfeeding counsellors that work on that line welcome calls from partners or, you know, everyone, if they're going to reach out and have a conversation, if the mum is just isn't feeling able to reach out for themselves just yet, you know, that could make a difference. You know, it can be night and day for that mum. Or I find that whenever I'm doing the breastfeeding session within our antenatal sessions as an NCT practitioner, I really focus on support and how important it is and encourage that conversation to always happen between, you know, the mum and the partner, and ensure that those partners know that they are at the front line of defence, you know, that their goal should be to support the woman to achieve what they want. And I think that in itself, we're not saying that all women should go into breastfeeding with the aim to get to a year. Week at a time, or I want to get to 6 weeks. So let's support that woman to get to that goal, however it may look to them, because the reality is that if a woman doesn't reach what they wanted, what they hoped for themselves, it can be so detrimental to that woman, and it can sometimes lead to mental health issues down the line.
Postnatal depression is often linked to breastfeeding goals not being achieved, mm-hmm. among other things, but that is one of the reasons why a lot of women say that they are suffering from postnatal depression, and that is quite avoidable, mm-hmm. in many situations, mm-hmm. and, you know, for that to be the reason, it shows that there isn't enough in place for people to access what they need at that time, or that the support that they're receiving is inadequate.
Yeah.
And you know, we hear a lot about midwives and health visitors being amazing, but there's also a lack of understanding of breastfeeding. And
a lot of the time they may have the desire to support that mum, but they're just so stretched, especially, mm-hmm. you know, on the maternity ward in the hospital setting. And the truth is, if you get a midwife or a healthcare professional that doesn't have the time, or there's gaps in their knowledge to best support you or signpost you, then you're not going to get that support that you deserve. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what most women have found, that they have to go beyond those initial points of support to really find what they need. And that support can take guise of, you mentioned, drop-ins, and hopefully as things change, we'll get back to face-to-face support. And some women really reap the benefit of having other mums relay their own experiences, and that can really change a situation for them and into a positive thing.
Yeah, we've been doing our NCT drop-in online, and there have been mums joining who have really just wanted to connect with other mums, you know, especially because we've been in lockdown and there just hasn't really been that opportunity to meet people face to face and get out and do classes and things like that. And, you know, they're really, really struggling with those first few weeks, but just being able to speak to somebody else who's going through the same thing, maybe slightly further ahead in their breastfeeding journey. It is, you know, you can see that that is helping people.
Yeah, it's very reassuring for a mum to have someone else go, I know exactly what you're going through. And, you know, new mums always carry so much empathy for other new mums,
and it's always slightly younger.
Yeah, and it's always amazing to watch, you know, women supporting women, but on the drop-in having a mum that's baby is now 8 months old and a mum that's there whose baby's days old, and the, you know, their mum with the older baby can really empathize and support and reassure in ways in which many healthcare professionals just can't, because they're not visibly in that same point in time on that same journey.
That's right, yeah. And then, you know, that support then will continue, and hopefully as we get back to face to face, then there is more of an opportunity to cast that net a bit wider and see those women coming together a little bit more, because there is sort of a gap.
There is, and, you know, building that their relationships and it, you know, that peer-to-peer support, I don't think you can really beat it. Whenever you find that collection of women that you really feel you can go to say, no, this was normal for me, so you're doing a great job, and or I had a terrible night's sleep as well, I didn't get any sleep, my baby was breastfeeding all night long, instead of feeling that urge to shy away from what's actually happening to them because society doesn't want to hear that your baby isn't, you know, in its own room and sleeping through by, you know, 20 weeks old.
Yeah, and one of the other ways that women can get support for breastfeeding is online forums and groups. I think especially on Facebook, there's quite a lot of really, really good groups that are only breastfeeding focused. And so they're very, very focused on just being really empathetic towards women who either have just had babies or they're a little bit older and they're still continuing to have problems, mostly it's sleep by the time they get a little bit older rather than latch and things like that. But it's all related into breastfeeding support, and it's really lovely to see when, you know, somebody posts something and then you have a barrage of other women saying, this happened to me too. You know, I'm just here for solidarity and, you know, sending you so much love and things like that. And, you know, it's nice to be on the other side of that and to know that other people are feeling the same way. They might not be able to help you,
but it's
everything.
Like, it's like a big hug to go, I've been there. Look, we've moved beyond it, or we're still in it, but we're here alongside you. And I don't think you can really put into words how important that is for a woman that's choosing to breastfeed. And I think the sad reality is with support, obviously I'm speaking from my experience, from our experiences and knowledge of Northern Ireland, but I'm sure it's not totally different across the UK, is that, you know, you really have to seek out this support and know where to look. And if you aren't, you know, if you are unfortunate enough to not come across those support groups, or, you know, the health visitor or your GP or the midwife isn't aware, so they can't signpost you to it, there's a great risk that you'll not get what you deserve.
That's right, yeah. And that's why, going back to, you know, antenatally, it's so, so important just to think about what you will want, and what you can't say exactly what, but What are your goals? It doesn't have to be anything further than a week if you don't want it to be. It can just be, you know, those first few days and just see how you get on. But having some goals, and you know, I talk to people about having red lines. What do you want people to say to you? What do you not want people to say? You know, if you're finding things tough, what is the one thing that you do not want to hear? And telling the person who's closest to you, you know, your partner, or if it's, you know, your mom or your sister or something, just whatever you do, don't say that to me. Or if you know that you'll need some reassurance or you'll need something a little bit more, say that. And you might need them to help you just to, with the burden of other things.
I think having that in place, pointing people in the direction of how to best support breastfeeding women. You know, it's in naturally instinctive for someone to want to come in and scoop up your baby so you can have a snooze if you're absolutely exhausted, or go, well, sure, one bottle of formula, you know, so you can have a rest isn't going to do any harm. And the reality is whilst it's meant with the best of intentions, it can potentially undermine the breastfeeding mum, because what she needs is for someone to support what she's doing. And by removing the baby, not in, I mean, obviously not in every case, but you know, offering a formula feed in place of a breastfeed just so mum can get a snooze isn't always the best option of support, but it's so natural for people to automatically offer that. So I wonder what you, in your capacity as a breastfeeding counsellor, or and as a, you know, a breastfeeding mum, what you would suggest to people to best support a woman that's breastfeeding.
Well, I mean, you're talking about bringing a bottle and things like that, and I have to say, personally, I find it quite undermining as well, even to suggest, you know, a bottle of express milk, because that's also you're asking the mother to express and then take baby away from her, and that might be quite distressing. There's quite a lot of things that go along with expressing that women might not feel is right for them. You know, expressing is seen by society as the easy option. It can be quite difficult for a lot of women to fit into their life with a newborn. Not to say that it can't work, of course it can, but it's not a fix-all. And it is something that's coming up antenatally a lot for the groups that I've been doing, is that, you know, they want to express, and that's up to them. But I think once you've actually got a newborn, and the thought of expressing so that you can get a break actually doesn't feel like a break for a lot of people. And so I think that that's something that is thrown around, and it's not very helpful for a lot of people. Maybe for an older baby, it would be helpful and a good option if that's something that the mother has been doing or she's incorporated into her life. But I think for, you know, somebody with a newborn who's just really, really exhausted, it's probably not the best
Option.
option for her. You know, if you want to give her a break, I would say things like cooking meals, go and empty the wash basket. You know,
Practical
anything that is
things
practical.
that really safeguards that fourth trimester, the mum mother baby dyad in those early weeks and days. Lelechi League have a great article about supporting a breastfeeding mother, and they did a survey of women to ask what they would want people to do, you know, instead of just suggesting that they offer up, you know, an alternative feed. So some of the things that they suggested was, make sure I have water, muslin, and a remote control beside me so I can, you know, comfortably sit with my baby and not have to think about other things. You know, take my older children to the out, you know, for a couple of hours so I don't have to think about them as well. Verbally support me. It says give me support and encouragement, and tell people who criticize or question me that I'm doing okay. And that kind of comes back to partners and family members being on that initial line of defense, being there to say they're doing a great job, and you know, it's normal. You know, making them aware of what's normal for a breastfed baby to have frequent feeds and to not question what is potentially coming naturally, how I react and respond to my baby.
I mean, the thing as well is that it's all very well saying, you know, if somebody else can feed the baby, then the mum can get a break. But in reality, dads are going back to work fairly soon. It is not always possible to have that, to give that, to give the mum that break that she, that you think that you're giving her. There are plenty of things that she will be then thinking, oh, well, I need to do this that time. And
exactly. I know when,
you know, there's always something worrying around in the brain.
I know that you should be doing that pile of washing that's building up, or, oh, I need to start thinking about what I might make for dinner. And if you had, you know, a supportive bubble around you, that for those first couple of weeks, especially as you and your baby are working on establishing breastfeeding, those people that are going to come in and, you know, either offer up pre-made food that they've prepared for you and your family, or come in and put a wash on and throw it into the tumble dryer or hang it out in the line, that's going to take pressure off that mum.
Yeah.
And give them time to navigate what works best for them and their baby.
Something that comes up a lot as well with new parents is the baby not being able to sleep, or not wanting to sleep on anybody but one of the parents. And, you know, one of the things that somebody can do to help is to say, look, you and the baby just fall asleep, just go and lie down in the bed, fall asleep together. I'll keep an eye. I'll make sure that you're both safe. And then the dad could maybe take over a little bit and take the baby for a while if the baby will sleep on his chest or something like that. And, you know, then they can get that bonding time. It doesn't always have to be a bottle. And, you know, there are studies to show that women who are breastfeeding need to be beside their babies. That's part of the, you know, the baby has just been born. It's been inside her for 9 months. And the mother is still so connected to the baby. And it's, it takes a long time for a mother to feel like she's okay with letting the baby go to someone else, go somewhere else. And, you know, she might not feel like she's ready for someone to take the baby for a walk when she's not there. And that's okay. And part of the support is, you know, what does she need? What does she want? And what feels good for her and what doesn't feel good for her. And I'm not going to do anything that doesn't feel good for her.
I know. And, you know, giving confidence to women, empowering women to say those things, and them giving themselves permission to acknowledge what doesn't feel right. Because, or maybe that's goes alongside raising awareness of what those postnatal emotions are and how intense it can be. Instead of, you know, our culture constantly expecting mums to want to get their lives back before, you know, like it was before they were pregnant, and women almost being scared to acknowledge, well, actually I don't want to put my baby down, and I don't want to give you my child so I can sleep as much as I want to sleep. I don't want to do it without my baby, or I don't want to have to give my baby up in order to achieve that. And that's another thing, you know, whenever you're saying that you're absolutely exhausted, you're not saying it's not okay for someone to turn around and go, well, you've chosen to breastfeed, so of course you're going to be tired. Because mums and new parents are just tired regardless. There's,
it doesn't matter how you feed your baby, you're going to be exhausted.
Yeah, because it's just a baptism in fire, isn't it?
And then that goes on, you know, it, as the baby gets older, and as the mother's thinking about maybe going back to work, or she's thinking about maybe having a night out, you know, going for a meal and things like that. And it is the social aspects of, well, you should be ready to do this. You know, it should be in her own time. And if she is breastfeeding, then understand that she might want to get back for that last feed in the evening before bedtime, and you know, she might have to get up in the night, and you know, that's okay. you can still do things if you want to, but if you don't want to, that's also okay. Then when she's going back to work, we don't have social policies that are in place to support breastfeeding women as much as we should have. You know, so many times we hear about women who are going back to work and they're worried about telling their boss that they're still breastfeeding because they're embarrassed about it, or they feel like they're going to be told that they should stop. Oh, why are you still breastfeeding that child?
Oh, you're still breastfeeding.
That's a continuation of not getting support.
Yeah.
And it must be really, really difficult to be in that space where, you know, you're a grown woman with a child. You've got a job, you've got a life, and then feeling like you're nervous to say something.
It's like
something so natural.
Yeah. I know I was speaking to a mum the other day, and she fed her son until he was 18 months, and she said once she passed 9 months, she really didn't, you know, feel comfortable telling people that he was still nursing, because so many people around her just didn't have that grasp. And that it's just sad that society views it in such a negative way. And I don't know how that conversation will change for it just to be culturally accepted, and the pressure on the breastfeeding mum to seek out her own support instead of it just being, oh yeah, not even acknowledge, it just is. It shouldn't have to be something monumental, something that people struggle to accept and just, you know, support and encourage that mum to do what she feels happiest with.
Like Stella Creasy is a breastfeeding mother at the moment, and like, so she's really championing women breastfeeding, and you know, it shouldn't take an MP who is breastfeeding for breastfeeding policies to be looked at with a wider scope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shouldn't be on that one breastfeeding mother who just happens to be an MP to start looking at changes in the law and things like that, and making it more accessible for women to breastfeed when they're at work or in public, which is what she's looking at. It doesn't look good in our society that is what it takes. And I think as well in New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern,
mm-hmm.
she is a mother who gave birth while she was in office and, you know, has breastfed in meetings, important meetings and things like that. And she has done really good things to
normalize,
you know, show that breastfeeding women can do things, and really shouldn't be just those select few people.
No.
We should be looking at
the wider picture and just having it totally normalized and just part of our culture, of our society, instead of it being this split and this scary, perceived scary unknown whenever a woman decides she wants to breastfeed her child.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's seen like women who are breastfeeding or women who have children or have been hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it makes women feel, because they are left at home and, you know, oh, well, you shouldn't really be coming back to work until you stop breastfeeding.
Yeah, exactly. Or your life can't continue until you've stopped breastfeeding.
Or maybe until your children have grown up, because it's a bit too much of a distraction. Really, what we gain is the ability to multitask and to do loads of different things and to pick up the things that we really, really need to do and drop the things that we don't.
Yeah. It's currently appears that in order for breastfeeding to be a talked about event, it takes an MP or a prime minister of a country to do it in front of everyone else, instead of it just being, oh, hey, women have breasts, they may want to feed their children with them. This is just what happens. It's just mind-boggling whenever it takes someone to be making what seems to be a sensationalist stand or doing something that's perceived as so unseen to get something changed. And even then, it's not. It's just opening a conversation, isn't it? It doesn't automatically change anything.
No, it doesn't. No, it just gets a few more people talking about it.
Yeah,
the more we talk about this and the more that, you know, it becomes a wider conversation, the more it becomes something that it's okay to talk about it in social situations. It's okay to talk about it at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to talk about it with your friend's husband.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't be weird to talk about breastfeeding, because
I know.
is a natural part of feeding a child.
Mm-hmm.
Necessary. It's not like it's, you know, something that you have a choice about. You have to feed your child. And biologically, we have breasts to feed milk to our children.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a mother who has made a choice not to breastfeed a child, that's completely up to her. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about here is that there shouldn't be barriers for women who do want to do that. And then it shouldn't be, you know, that they get to a certain point and they feel like their support has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a continuation.
Exactly. And your support changes as your journey changes. Initially, it's very much you're in that heightened postnatal stage and you have the midwife, the health visitor, the feeding coordinator at the hospital, potentially if that's something you needed to access.
Mm-hmm.
And then that can kind of stop. And I know that it's common for health visitors to offer up a list of local breastfeeding support groups. But sometimes that information is outdated. Mm-hmm. And depending on the personality of that mother, she may not feel confident about putting herself out there in a new group. And so, but if that's all that's being offered up to her, once that close contact of the midwives and health visitors stops so many weeks after your baby arrives, then it can be quite isolating. And that's when that mum has to seek out the support of like the online forums and make connections that way. And then you either, I think it just not having that support in place, it just makes me so sad that women just don't get the support that they deserve, because breastfeeding is something that we've said so many women want to do it, and then there's just barriers put up for them, and I don't think it's made easy for them.
No, I don't think it is. I think that it's sort of a constant. So, you know, once you've got breastfeeding established, then, you know, there's maybe, if you've got the wrong support system around you, if you've got people who maybe don't understand breastfeeding, then, you know, you start getting the questions of, oh, well, do you think you'll stop soon?
Mm-hmm.
Or will you stop when the baby starts eating food?
Mm-hmm.
Or that baby's a bit old for that now? And you know, you don't need that.
No, because our society doesn't understand that. Every stage of the breastfeeding journey requires a level of support or understanding. That heavy focus on the start of the journey, getting those skills established. But also whenever a woman decides that she wants to stop breastfeeding because she's decided, or maybe her infant has weaned, that mom still needs to be scooped up in support and being given that empathy and understanding, because her life has changed again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that encouraging women to understand the complete circle of a breastfeeding journey,
mm-hmm.
empowering them to have those conversations with the people around them, and also knowing where to seek that the right support for them, is just crucial to the success of their breastfeeding journey, however they want it to look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. This podcast is brought to you in association with NCT Northern Ireland and funded by the HSC Public Health Northern Ireland. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and find out more about our courses on the NCT website.